This is Phil Rowe,
Cambridge 105 Radio.
So in our studio, we have our guest this morning. Cambridge Science Centre recently turned 1 year old, and to celebrate and mark the occasion, they deep cleaned and painted everything in their building to make sure they're still as bright and fresh as they were the day they opened a year ago. You can check out their video just to prove that it's all happened. Down on the hands and knees they were on Facebook. We're going to check out the latest events they've got planned for the next few weeks too. And we welcome back Mandy Curtis, Head of Exhibitions. And for the first time with us, Emily Fisk, one of the team of science communicators and the events coordinator for the Cambridge Science Centre. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Phil.
The badges, first of all. I have to ask, our newbie to the station... I guess I've just sort of clapped eyes, Emily, on sort of your lanyard. What's going on there?
So some of these badges are from when I was doing my PhD up in Sheffield. So there's loads of kind of different festivals and things. And my research was based on antibiotic resistance. So I'm a keen antibiotic resistance guardian. But yeah, just tend to collect them along the way.
Great, actually, because it's kind of comfort things. I did read your kind of biog, actually, as it came in as well. And I thought of you working away, doing your master's or PhD or whatever it was in science, because I used to come, as I told you in the past, I used to come among you and sort of fiddle about with everything that was working in your lab bench. Or if it wasn't working, that was the reason they used to call me in. So I'm well used to your environment in science, but welcome to the team, Emily. We'll start with you, really, because you're doing all this wonderful presenting now, and you're even wearing your smart science communicator badge. It's one of the array that you've got on there on your lanyard this morning. I mean, what got you into to doing this with this wonderful team?
So during my kind of time at university, I loved kind of talking to the people and talking to children about science. And during my PhD, I had loads of opportunities to put on events and go into schools and just kind of disseminate that information and talk to the locals about the research that was going on in universities. And when this opportunity to come down to Cambridge appeared last year, so I'm a sort of a year old as well as the centre in that kind of sense. So yeah, I had to jump at it and come straight down and start kind of doing what we're doing.
You're not originally from Cambridge?
No. Yeah. Dare I say it, I'm from near Oxford.
No. Well, that's all right. We can have those Oxford sorts in.
Yeah, yes, but we've got her now.
Yeah. So.
The Oxbridge link, the connection between us two. Well, welcome to the team after a year or so. Yeah. I will start by saying it is quite it's quite funny to see and Dan, who's also in the studio taking some pictures with us today, took this little video over the last year. It's amazing how you've moved on and what you've done over this year. Mandy's become the head of exhibitions as well, Mandy, which I always think is a bit like a properties master in a theatre in a way,
definitely,
I suppose.
Yeah.
all the material... you, I suppose, have to be the most creative and imaginative, Mandy, when it comes to setting up new props, if you like, coming up with new ideas.
Yeah, that's kind of a lot of what my job is, ideas, passing them on to people, getting people to sort of buy into them and then work on them, you know, run with it themselves. So, yeah, ideas is a big part of what I do.
And talking of buying, you don't really have... Do you have a big budget to do that sort of thing,
We are a charity, to be fair, so budget is always at the back of your mind, yeah.
Down to the local haberdashers or ironmongers to get whatever it is you need.
You'd be surprised, yeah.
You've even been having a look at some of our new lighting to see if that might be an idea for where you are. So you're in a unit on the Clifton industrial estate.
Well, it's just behind the leisure park, so yeah.
We'd like to call it a leisure park,
yes,
I suppose, really.
Yes, I think so, yeah, definitely.
Because what you do, after all, is in a way...
It's a leisure activity. It's about enjoying yourself and having fun. And as you said, we've been at Clifton Road a year now, although obviously we did have premises before. We're not just a year old. We've been around for a while. But at Clifton Road for a year now. Phil... really settled and as though it's our home. It's a lovely place, a lovely space we've got. Yeah.
Been clearing out the spiders and the spider's web, some of you anyway.
Not me.
You even got the boss to hire a carpet cleaner machine.
Oh, yeah. Nobody gets left out of our fun times.
And do your spring clean. So it just really made the place look kind of nice. But you want to do perhaps something with the acoustics.
We've got lovely high ceilings, which give the place a really nice open feel, but perhaps the acoustics aren't the best, and that's why I was admiring your ceiling panels. And so,
I've seen it work for us, a bit like putting something in the Royal Albert Hall, which they did, which you were mentioning as well, and the Cambridge Grand Exchange, places where the acoustics don't really work quite so well, because one thing you do is use a little bit of amplified presentation.
Yeah, when the guys are presenting, delivering their shows and workshops. Obviously, the centre might be quite busy. There's lots of kids around, and you know, people aren't sitting in silence. It's a fun space. So, yeah, we need a little bit of help to get our message across sometimes. And so, yeah, anything that can help that might be worth looking into. So, yeah, I was really, really pleased to see what you've done here.
We'll look at what you do as a concept, because new listeners have joined us this morning and perhaps not heard some of the features that we've done with you over the last few months. Mm-hmm. A very general question then. Both of you on this one, really. What is the Cambridge Science Centre? There we are. Wow. Discuss. It's a bit like writing an essay, and I've given you the title, and you've got to do it in 200 words.
We're about engaging people in science, families, young people, inspiring them to follow STEM careers, people that think science is not for them. It's kind of our goal is to show them that actually, yeah, it is. It's for everyone.
Do you know, the wonderful thing is that you get a child fiddling with a pen or fiddling with a pencil, staring out the window, not paying attention to class. But then if you get science, technology, engineering and maths going on them, sometimes they ka-ching, eureka moment. And it gets
all about hands-on and interactive as well. We don't do the talking at kids. It's about getting them involved. And it might be a different way of learning for some kids that draws them in. You know, if it's not the subject we're talking about, it's the way of learning, and it's so just to try and get everyone involved.
And as we mentioned before, you go out to schools, so that means also taking the Cosmos Roadshow on tour. Yep. Everywhere from Great Yarmouth to Ipswich, I guess. I don't know what the catchment would be. I know certainly Wisbeach, Peterborough.
Yeah,
there isn't really a catchment.
No.
I mean, the roadshow was primarily kind of last few years been doing it in Kingsland, Ely, Peterborough, but. As one of the science communicators, I'm often turfed out in the van with all the exhibits. So we've been to Lowestoft, Ipswich, all over. So the next few we've got in July are out that way. So still kind of spreading far and wide. There's no catchment.
Yeah,
at all.
If somewhere wants us to go there, then we'll pack the van up and off we go.
Yeah.
That's good news. I mean, what's the most unusual venue so far that you've had to go to enjoyed going to?
Since I've been around, we've done quite a few cathedrals, which to me were just... felt mad.
Ely, of course.
Yeah, we've got a big event coming up in Ely.
Yeah, so
we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, okay. We've also had in kind of like the front of supermarkets or back rooms in libraries and
garden centres.
Yes, yeah, all sorts, just popping up anywhere that people might kind of almost stumble upon you. Which
and
is
you've
quite
rocked
nice.
Up in Peterborough Cathedral alongside Soyuz.
We did,
capsule.
Yeah. It was right straight opposite, which was great. So I got to kind of stare at it and see what everyone was kind of looking at, which is...
I've not seen one of those ever up close, and I'm not quite sure the context of the size of one of those things.
It was the parachute. The parachute was huge. It took up so much of the ceiling.
And that's
and walked in and kind of went, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's flared out as well, so you can see what that's
Yeah, they had
about.
The whole thing up. It was spectacular.
Do you think anything, you'd be doing something, I mean, that's a major coup to do something like that. Would we have a big prop like that available to you again?
It wasn't out.
It
wasn't
ours.
It was at Peterborough Cathedral. Yeah. So I mean, we'll go along to all sorts of science festivals. I mean, in fact, Ely coming up, they've got a space theme as well, so they're going to have all sorts of artifacts going on there. So yeah, we just kind of join in with things wherever we're asked. Really.
I mean, you said about the lighting and our ceiling in the centre. We could do something. If someone else wants to give us a prop to kind of store on the ceiling for a bit, help the acoustics, then we could do.
Do you take volunteer effort? Because you are a large team and you are paid staff. Do you have volunteers helping
Absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, we have volunteers in all sorts as well. So on gallery, helping with activities from the public. If people wanted to do something a bit more behind the scenes, then that would be great too, like a little bit of helping with some of our exhibits. If they're not on gallery, they might need a little bit of maintenance to just bring them back up to scratch. That's the sort of thing that we'd happily take volunteers to do. So yeah, we make a lot of use of volunteers, and they're invaluable to us.
You should mention, of course, at this stage that you're a charitable trust, and so therefore it's not for profit, and every penny really helps to get the message across about science, technology, engineering and maths.
Absolutely.
Mainly science, of course, which you've got a wonderful website, we always mention that as well, cambridgesciencecentre.org, where you can find out more about what the work that Mandy, Emily and the rest of the team, including Dan, do for schools, for the public as well. Even going, you say at home, but that, of course you're talking about your site at home, not you don't actually do home visits for
people. We don't do home visits.
No.
But we do bring science into the home with our online activities and articles that we have. Yeah, so... anything. Yeah, there's a huge range of topics on our online stuff. So yeah, that's really worth taking a look at too. And of course, now we're spreading ourselves even further. We've all just taken part in autism awareness training because we want to be able to give everybody the best possible experience. And so we're going to be planning. Well, we are planning some sessions specifically for people on the autistic spectrum. And then once we've got those up and running, we'll be looking at other sort of groups that we can help to make their experience better.
And students on the autistic scale, Mandy, it's fascinating sometimes that for parts of their personality that might be trapped or locked in other parts of their personality, you have some extremely talented young people.
Absolutely. And there's no, you can't generalise. It's, yeah, we're all different. People on the autistic spectrum, they're all different as well. So we're just trying to make it so that, as I say, everyone can have the best possible experience at Cambridge Science Centre.
And another thing is you're going to be, we're moving sort of around on the agenda of things that you're going to be doing, but we'll summarise at the end. The Norfolk Summer Deaf Festival. Does that mean you're going to have someone who will be doing the signing?
So last year we were there at the Summer Deaf Festival. It was one day last year, it's 2 days this year, so it's growing and it was amazing. But yeah, they have British Sign Language interpreters, speech to text interpreters, phonetics, lip readers, and all translators basically. And so I'll be doing a show all about sound and how we hear. And that will be translated by all the above. So yeah, we'll be taking exhibits based on your senses, how you hear and how you might be able to trick your senses. They'll be going to the Norfolk Deaf Festival for day two of the festival. So that's a Saturday, the 25th.
Yep, day two, Saturday the 25th of May. And join, if you're up in Norfolk, in that area, day two of the Norfolk Summer Deaf Festival. You get hold of deaf schools to come in with their classes?
Yeah, I mean, the Deaf Festival people, they arrange all of that. We're just a guest, if you like, there. But we're actually hoping to take on board some training in that field as well. So we might be able to, hopefully be able to incorporate some of that into our new products. And again, it's about giving a wider variety of people the best possible experience.
I like the inclusivity of what you do, then, autism and deaf people. Everybody can be embraced and welcome. And be sparked and triggered by the idea of science around them. And remember, look, what you do, of course, is very illustrative in terms of visual. So it doesn't really matter, does it? But if you've got interpreters that can work with the people in your classes. I mean, how big are the groups normally in terms of numbers in the room?
Oh, so at the festival last year, it was one massive group of venue. So you could have people kind of dropping in and out of your show or kind of just kind of dabbling in as they're going through to something else. They had deaf choirs who were kind of signing during the day as well. They had all sorts of different people. So, I mean, typically our classes can be maybe about 30 kids, but you can be upwards of about 100. So
classroom size is kind of handy, I suppose.
Yeah, it's quite nice to have like a nice 30. Intimate group. But yeah, so it can be huge.
Mandy, something we delved into to your past that we were mentioning out in the green room earlier on. You're one of those stinky people.
Now,
when I was at school at 11 years old, it was the old first year and I just started school. And one end of the old school, it's been pulled down now, is Nether Hall, and it's a fabulous new building. It was kind of a prefabby then. It was the science block, of course, and there was one corridor linking it. And down there was the physics laboratory, if you like, call it classroom. There was the chemistry and biology labs as well. And there was always these strange noxious smells. I never really said, being a country lad, the only smells I probably could ever smell were the smells of the countryside, like cattle and pigs. But there were these sulphurous smells and other noxious. My first day at school, and I thought, the nearer I go down that end, this is what's going on down there, a real kind of a crucible, a boiling. And you were one of the, originally working as a support technician, a very good job in the school.
For quite a long while, I was a school lab technician, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And I think that's where the creativity comes from, because, of course, in that job, you get teachers come to you and say, I want to do this experiment or this demonstration. And, all due credit to teachers, they don't necessarily, you know, they're not going to know how to make it happen. So you have to come up with all sorts of weird and wacky things to demonstrate in the classroom. So, yeah, it was a really good grounding for what I do now.
First time I ever saw someone wearing a white coat was our lab technician at our school back in those days. And the things we would do, the health and safety doesn't allow us to do now, beads of mercury, and they put them on the palm. I know.
No.
Everybody's going, no. But, yeah, but the teacher would allow them to roll around in the classroom, probably go across the lab bench. Even you'd get the odd student that would drop on the floor, we'd have to go searching for beads of mercury, roll them around on our hand, which you think, oh my goodness.
And to be fair, that's one thing that we're not allowed to do anymore. No. But you'd be surprised how much that is allowed in the classroom. It's just a case of risk assessments, and sometimes it's a dynamic risk assessment, so sort of thinking on your feet a little bit. It is surprising how much you are allowed to do. Sometimes it's controlled and thought about.
Another one was naphthalene. I don't think you can use that anymore.
No.
But the smell of this stuff, and you think, crikey, we're surprised
mothballs.
They're all still alive. Yes. The smell of mothballs. And we were using it as a wax cap on a test tube to seal something in. And so they were breathing it. Oh, it was a bit obnoxious, to say the least. But you stay away from stuff like that these days.
To be fair, I don't have that great a sense of smell these days. And I'm sure it's for exposure to so many solvents over the years.
Knocked out by and alkalis and things like that back in the day. So things like health and safety. You've been having a lot of fun with kids doing a bit of a rocket festival as well. Rocket making session. You have a goal of getting 15 young scientists having a go. 11 already have had a go.
That's in our STEM club, yeah.
And they're hitting the ceilings?
It's controlled. It was just some different ways of making things launch. So we looked at chemical reactions. We looked at rockets that were powered by straws. So, yeah, I don't think any of them. We do have very high ceilings, so I don't think any of them quite made it.
I didn't quite get up to the top of the ceiling. But
no, so. it's our STEM club this half term is all about get moving, and so different ways of moving things. So the rockets was 1 week, and we've got a few surprises coming up in the next couple of weeks as well.
So the sessions are called Get Moving, if you want to get your children moving onto this. The next sessions, they come up on Thursday, so it's the 9th, the 16th and the 23rd of May. The 9th, 16th and 23rd. Go to that website to book your child and your places with your children on the course. So that's cambridgesciencecentre.org. And there's still places available, Mandy, to go and make rockets.
Yeah, definitely not. Well, we've done the rockets. We've got some more coming up.
Some more get movings.
Yeah. And then after half term, again, we'll have another block on a theme. And, we'll be advertising that nearer the time. We don't like to give too much away too soon.
Half term's coming up again. I can't believe we've just had Easter. 27th through to the 31st of May. Keep an eye on the What's On calendar on the website for the latest half term schedule. The Norfolk Summit Deaf Festival, as you heard, is coming up. We were talking about that with Emily just a little bit earlier on. This all means that you have to have quite a lot of people, an army of them. You've got Arbury Carnival. We may have you on, by the way, before we get as far as Arbury Carnival. Yeah. We will mention that, though, just in case we don't. 11 o'clock through to 5 o'clock on Saturday, the 8th of June this year, for the Arbury Carnival. You're going to be there.
Yep.
You're going to be in the arena there.
So. Yeah. We're doing all sorts, really, really playing a part in the carnival. First time we've made it this year, so that's really exciting. So.
We're going to be doing a science demonstration.
Oh, we're doing all sorts.
Yeah, I think we'll be doing our Destination Space Join the Crew show.
Yeah,
it's all about spectacular space and how to get up to the International Space Station, what it's like to live up there, and how you can safely get back home.
And do you dress up for that spaceship?
There's a little bit of potential to dress up, there's also potential to maybe test out a hoverboard.
Hoverboard,
if you're lucky.
Oh, wow. You will levitate off the ground.
Yeah, we've got two of them. And if you go to the STEM club, you might be able to try and make a mini version of your own.
A hoverboard. Yeah. You get enough energy to get, a big strapping chap like me off the ground. I doubt it, but...
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Come along and have a go.
Is it jet-packed?
No. No, we're not giving it away. You've got to come and find out.
Magnetic levitation?
No.
Ooh. I am intrigued.
Good.
That's a real tease, ladies. You're a real wheeze. A real tease.
And as you were alluding to, we've got such a lot going on in the centre that we're actually recruiting at the moment.
Yes.
So we've got some jobs advertised on our website. So go and have a look if you're interested. You want to inspire the next generation of scientists. Now's your chance.
Well, we will just mention on the end science communicator jobs going at the moment. So yep. Anybody's a scientist bored at the moment for the third 96 well plate they've done this morning, and they're perpetuating all the way through. And yeah, science can be very repetitive towards doing any
Definitely,
form of study
yeah.
to get a result. So if you want to break away from the mould that is the seat that you're sat in at the moment, a lab bench somewhere here in Cambridge, then well,
or even
apply.
Further.
Yeah.
Not even just in Cambridge. No. You could come from Featherfield.
Of course. We're kind of parochial around here in South Cambridgeshire. But yes, if you're listening further afield, then here in Cambridge, science communicators are wanted. You can send your cover letter and a CV. The closing date for that one's the 3rd of June. We'll go through some of them very quickly before we end. Head of Monitoring and Evaluation, reporting to the Chief Operating Officer as well here in Cambridge.
Yep.
Depending on experience, you could earn up to £25,000 a year. The Head of Development, reporting to the Chief Executive Officer here in Cambridge again, based down the road. Ooh, skyrocketing to £50,000 and upwards, depending on your experience. Keep an eye on the website for the latest schedule of all the events that we've been going through here with the ladies this morning, with Emily and with Mandy. And you can find out more about these job vacancies too. It's cambridgesciencecentre.org. Both of you, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much. Good to see you again.
We'll have some levitating props for you next time. I don't know. Health and safety here, the engineers will go crazy, because especially if I hit the lights up there or something like that. But they put me on one of these hoverboards.
Yeah,
I am intrigued.
We'll bring props in next time.
Emily Fisk, science communicator and the events coordinator. And you also heard there from Maddie Curtis, the head of exhibitions at the Cambridge Science Centre. Both of you, thank you very much for coming
thank
in
you.
This morning.